our sponsor is Skin Condoms. Skin. You ever wear a condom? I know I'm fucking, but I don't feel anything. I know I'm fucking, but I don't feel anything. Make it feel like there's nothing even on there. It's made with some next level technology stuff that feel like you raw dogging up in there. Or closest to it. You still feel like it's something there, but it's just only a little bit. It's the least that it needs to be to still feel good. Skin condoms. Skin, skin, skin. They feel good. They're super soft and comfortable. Skin condoms feel like you're raw dogging them. Use code RAMBLER from today's show to receive free shipping on all skin products at buycondoms.online. That's RAMBLER at buycondoms.online. Skin condoms. Just buy a bunch of them. Just buy 100. Get ahead of it. You don't want to be in that situation. Oh, I don't. Patting your pockets. Looking around. Just get a bunch of them and hope for the best. Live your best life. Skin condoms. Welcome, 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 welcome back, or welcome for the first time. Well, who knows? I don't know. It's the Handsome Rambler Podcast. I'm Hannibal Buress. It's Tony Trim.
Hey.
Episode 4. We're in Chicago, man. It is election night, Tuesday, November 8th. We're in Chicago. At this point in time, Trump is up in the electoral votes. Who knows, man? Is Trump going to be our president? It's going to be determined by the time this airs, but you get to catch us in anticipation, in a state of not knowing. Did you vote today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A state of complete anxiety.
Yeah. I'm not that anxious. I voted today. I feel like I shouldn't. I'm sort of living back in Chicago now. It was some things that I feel like I shouldn't be allowed to vote for, which I just skipped. It was one of the things in Chicago you can vote for is the Water Reclamation Commissioner. Did you vote on that?
No, I didn't vote on
it. You just skipped it?
Yeah.
You just like, because yeah. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, it seems like water, you can't really be that biased. You're not going to do something super conservative with water. So I just kind of left that. I really don't have any. I don't lean any certain way politically as far as water reclamation commissioners. But there were a few issues on the Chicago ballot specifically that I had to look up on my phone while I was there in the booth to have some more knowledge on. One of them, you got to vote on whether the revenue from the roads and different things like that.
It's like the safe roads one or whatever?
I think that was that. Where whether that revenue from all those sources could only be spent on those things. And so I did a little research on it, and it seemed like a lot of reasonable people saying you should say no. So just so that money can be allocated to different things. In case of a crisis.
I saw ads for it on TV.
And really?
They spun it like as a... It's a no-brainer. Everybody wants good roads.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the roads... Yeah, it is good to have good roads, but I feel like they got some extra money, man. Yeah, all that toll
but
money.
But, you know, everybody has to deal with potholes, so they spun it like, do you like potholes? No, you don't. So you should vote for better roads.
I feel like the city of Chicago at this point should have a very streamlined and cost-efficient pothole fixing solution. It should be smooth out. So I got the voting done and went and checked out my spot. I went and checked out it's almost ready to be up on Airbnb. Some people were calling me a slumlord online. I saw some people. Yeah, man.
Wait, you're not a landlord yet. How could you?
I know. I've never been. Yeah, man. People. Oh, he's kicking. He's changed. He's buying buildings and kicking people out of them. It's not the monotone Hannibal that we used to love with the pickle juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People. Whatever. People are going to hate on you when you're getting that money.
Yeah. I know. And so I've been looking. I'm constantly looking at properties online, and I go on this site, loopnet.com, that has commercial properties. And your building came up.
Yeah.
I wasn't searching this zip code. It just came up on there. When I was scrolling through, your building came up.
Yeah, homie called me about it a couple months ago. He was letting me know that, pretty much lease is up August.
Yeah, August 31st, your lease is up. It says that on there.
Yeah,
and it was weird to read that about because it had all the information on the listing. It had all the information. He said it's a retail property, and then there's a unit above with a long term tenant in there. The lease is up August 31st, 2017. You know, it was weird to read that about my friend. If I'm being honest about the property itself. I think it's overpriced.
It's absolutely. I mean, the guy said it to me straight up when he called me. He's like, because I was like, well, what are you looking to sell it for? Because I love this apartment.
Yeah.
So I was just like, maybe I might look into it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll tell you straight up, it's going to be way above market price.
Yeah.
Because the neighborhood's hot. And he's like, you're not going to want to do it.
He think he's going to get it easily.
I think he's going to get it.
You think he's going to get it?
I think.
Because I looked at it and you said, well, maybe you should buy it. And I was like, no, first of all, that'd be a weird dynamic to buy the place that you live in. And also, it's overpriced.
Yeah. No, I think there's a chance that it might even go up. They have a long-term lease downstairs.
I think
they're locked in for like 5 years.
They have something like a triple net lease, I think.
Yeah.
Where,
I don't know what that means.
I can't explain it either. I guess it's something good if you're an owner.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they pay for rent.
Oh, he told me, it's something very reasonable.
Yeah.
He told me, but I can't remember. But I do remember thinking like, oh, that's definitely not going to justify the price of this building.
Yeah. But I thought it would be funny. Hey, Tony, got some good news and some bad news. Get out of here right now. We got to go on tour.
But by contract, they can't.
Yeah.
But he said to me, he was like, yeah, I might need you to move earlier. And he's like, I'm sure there's a price that we can agree upon to make that happen if that needs to happen. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I mean, if it's like a month's rent, I'm going to be like, no, because I want to stay here as long as I can. But if he's like, here's $5,000, I'll be like, peace.
Nice. Yeah, man.
So it's a hot neighborhood.
It's a hot neighborhood. It's a hot neighborhood here in Chicago. The Cubs won.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs won the World Series.
Tell them about that Airbnb that you found that was fronting like they were in Wrigleyville.
Yeah, it was, I guess, for the Cubs games. I was looking for a spot to stay. I was when I was in the shop, I was looking for a spot just to kick it one night. And it was this place that said, oh, right by Wrigley in Logan Square. And Logan Square, if you don't know Chicago, Logan Square and Wrigley are not right next to each other
almost
at
like
all.
Different counties.
And they're not even easy to get to. It's just totally different, but people were trying to capitalize. I wish I was in a city when it happened. I didn't want to be right in the mix. I don't know if I would have wanted to be in Wrigleyville when the Cubs won, because I think I would have went crazy, but...
Yeah.
It was dope to see. And we were in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Just finished up our gig. Wale came by the show in D.C. That was pretty cool. And Al Jackson was with us. He's from Cleveland. And it was fun to just talk shit to him.
Yeah.
It was just fun. It's just fun to talk shit to somebody about. And I don't even care about baseball that much. And I'm a bandwagon fan. And that's probably what made it hurt more, because he's probably thinking, I never heard you talk about the Cubs until last month. And yeah, you goddamn right. I'm a straight up bandwagon fan riding the wave. And so we watched the game at a bar across the street from the venue. Then the rain delay happened. Then we went back to the Airbnb. And they won, and we just got to talk trash to Al. And he was really sad for that moment. I don't know if he was faking sad or he's real sad. He might have been, I don't know.
I think he's still riding the wave off of the Cavaliers.
He was upset.
So he's going to be okay.
He was kind of, it was a moment where I looked at him and I took a picture of him. I think I think he chilled out, a half hour later.
Yeah, no, he got it back together.
But yeah, I just wish it. That's crazy. That parade, 5 million people. It's only 3 million people in Chicago. It would have been nice to be here and be in that energy. I just got back now. Oh man, you know what? I flew in today. It was nice, smooth flight. And I always wonder when I hand my boarding pass to the TSA, mm-hmm. what is that bullshit they scribble on there?
I've always wondered.
What do they scribble on there?
I don't know.
What is that shit? Because it's never, it's not consistent. Sometimes yeah. it's just some indecipherable shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's their initials and a number. And they just scribble some shit. It's just a show. Because if you use mobile boarding pass, they can't just scribble on your phone.
They can't. That'd be funny if they did.
What are they, what is that shit that they're scribbling? Because I've never gotten to the gate and then had the American Airlines person say, hey, you can't get on the plane. You don't got no random scribbly bullshit on your boarding pass. What are they? Any TSA agents that listen, please email the handsome rambler at Gmail and tell us and the world what that bullshit that you be scribbling is. I would
I genuinely like to know. I genuinely
why are you scribbling on my shit? Who are you? Let me write on something. Just stop. You ain't writing nothing special. And I don't like when I go to a bar or a club. You ever have a guy look at your ID too long?
Yeah, that's annoying.
It's a certain threshold.
Yeah.
It's a reasonable, I think it's about once they go past 5 seconds,
yeah.
I think that's it for me on the ID. If I hand him my ID, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you got it. Beyond mm-hmm. that, what the fuck are you looking for? You see, what? Stop looking at me. I got into it on the other side, coming back from Canada.
Uh-oh.
Well, I didn't get into it. It was with the U.S. Customs in at the Calgary airport. It was the U.S. Customs lady at the airport. Why do they have guns, first of all? They always have guns, and it don't seem like that's where the shit goes down at. That's neither here nor there. And so she asked me, what were you doing in Canada? I said, I was doing a show, doing a comedy show. And she said, what is your title? And that kind of put me in a weird spot. I mean, my title, it was my show, Hannibal Burris. Like, it felt like a weird thing to say. So she asked me, what are you doing here? I said, I was doing a comedy show. What's your title? I mean, it was my show. And then she asked me something else. And then she asked me where I was born. And I was a little tired, and I was just already.
Well, you're already in. Did you already cross the border? Right.
This is no. They didn't have it at some airport. They have it at the Canadian airport. They have the U.S. customs people.
So you think those people are? Do you think they live in Canada, or do you think they're American citizens that live in Canada, or do you think they're Canadians that work for the American borders? Border guards.
I think they're American citizens that live and work in Canada at the airport.
Is that a conflict of interest?
It seems weird that they have it. I don't know. I guess that makes it smoother for you to do it there, and you just land in America and keep it moving. I don't know. But right. at some places they just have it. At some Canadian cities, you just go out and you handle it on yeah. the Canadian side.
Yeah,
and they'll even have a sign. And part of the airport, like, welcome to America. Like, fuck off. We're still in Canada. Shut up. And, yeah, so then she asked me where I was born. And she had my passport in her hand. And it says where I'm born on there. And so she said, where were you born? And it says it right there on the passport. She said, do you know what my job is? To protect the border. And then she sends me to secondary screening.
Secondary, what did they do there?
Like? They didn't do anything. It was just a dude. The dude knew me. He was like, what's going on, man? Like, she was asking stupid questions, dog. And it was just an extra couple minutes. I don't know. I guess I just hate authority. I mean, it was just, it's on there. It's on the passport.
Yeah.
So you think somebody that went through the trouble of getting a fake passport is going to forget where they're fake born at. Like, you see it right there. I'm coming back home. I already had a lot of trouble coming in on the other side. You don't stop me from coming home. I got to live in Calgary now because you got a bunch of dumbass questions. Whatever.
Well, welcome back.
I'm excited to be back. I'm very excited to be back.
Until these results.
I think he's refreshing the results. Still early. Same. It's only 9 p.m. Central Time, just to give you a real-time feel. Sometimes you don't know when a podcast is happening unless it's happening live, like live streaming. But this podcast is usually put, it is 9 p.m. Tuesday 8th. Donald Trump is in the lead. 137. Former host of The Apprentice, Donald Trump. Former Comedy Central roast.
So many things you can say about that guy. Former, yeah, everything.
Is in the lead with electoral votes right now. And actually, as much as I don't like the Electoral College and how much it diminishes the individual vote.
I feel like it takes away power from the people, you know?
It does. As much as I don't like the Electoral College and how much it diminishes an individual's vote, I think it might come in handy tonight because I feel like it's going to be tight and I think Trump is going to win the popular vote and Hillary is going to take the Electoral College.
Really?
That is what I think here at 9 p.m. Central Time. So we'll see how it plays out. SeatGeek. Oh, are you stupid? Are you a last minute spontaneous person? You didn't decide what you wanted to do tonight? Well, pull up SeatGeek. You can see what's going on in your town. That's what I do. It'll just show you. It syncs up with your music library, shows you if your favorite artists are playing, and you can just buy some tickets. It shows you the best deals. That's what I do. I love SeatGeek. That's how I found out how much people are scalping my tickets for, and see how stupid they are when they're trying to sell Hannibal Buress tickets for $400 in San Francisco. That market's not that strong for me, or most comics. $400? The fuck is wrong with you? Anyway, SeatGeek is smooth. It brings together all the ticket insights under the SeatGeek interface, and you can just see it. It is awesome, man. You see exactly where your seats are. I use SeatGeek. I do it all the time. Oh, yeah, what are our plans? Oh, yeah, I know exactly what we're doing tonight. Let me go to the bathroom real quick. And I go to the bathroom, take a shit, pull up SeatGeek. Boom! We're going to see Bruno Mars. Front row. Thank you, SeatGeek. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. It's a promo code RAMBLER. RAMBLER. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app. Enter promo code RAMBLER today. Yes! I want to figure out a twist with the podcast. Something fun. Something different. What if I just made competing businesses for all of our advertisers? Oh, you like Helix mattresses? Well, what about mine? I got that too. I like that technology. I'm into that too. And check out this food stuff I got. And I make clothes and I
do it better.
Yeah. And then I can advertise my own businesses on my own podcast and charge myself nothing. And I won't even have to have specific stuff for the reads and the codes or anything. I can do the ads how I want to do it. And I just revolutionized the business. That's that.
Yeah. It's a free market, man.
Yeah. Free market. Have fun. Be loose. DC was fun. I've forgotten DC.
DC was fun.
DC, we had two nights in DC, one night at the Howard Theater, the other one at the Lisner Auditorium on George Washington University campus. Mm-hmm. Since we didn't have to travel the next day, it was a good day to party. And so, you know, we have after parties a lot. Me and Tony DJ. And so I wanted to have a twist on this one. So I mapped it out and saw that the venue that our friend Miles owns is Smith Public Trust. That's the after party venue. It's about 15 minutes away from the Howard Theater. Not that far, but, you know, it's enough to lose for some people to lose interest and not want to go. So decided to try to get a party bus, get a bus to take people from the show to the party.
Which is an excellent idea.
Seems simple. Seems simple. Only problem with this idea is that I came up with it at 4:30 and my show, I came with 4:30 p.m. and my show was at 8 o'clock. So now,
here's, wait, before you get into it, here's the funny thing is that I literally left to do sound check as he was on the horn trying to get a party bus. And then, yeah, and then later on, I was just like, I hear, yeah, we got the bus. We're good to go. I was impressed that you pulled it off in such short notice.
It took a little bit. I wasn't impressed because some of them were. It's funny, people treat me like an asshole for calling and trying to stimulate their business on a Tuesday. Like, yeah. Is that many people getting buses on a Tuesday? Get one of them drivers and pull that shit out of the lot.
Exactly.
Don't act like it's crazy. And this one woman was really rude on the phone. And I called her. And then I said, oh, I'm looking to get into getting a party bus. And then she just started like, into hard sales right away. Are you ready to put down a deposit now? You just have, and I'm like, what? I don't even know what y'all got or what your what your inventory is. She just put out, you put ready to put down a deposit. And I'm like, hold up. And then we started talking details. I said we wanted it for about 9:15. And then she was like, for what? What is it for what? And I said, for driving around a big group of people. And it's, we don't have a bus. And it just hung up.
Yeah.
So a bunch of people just thought I was being ridiculous for even trying to do something that last minute or get it. And then eventually we were able to pull it off. So shout out to whatever company that was that helped us out. Well, didn't help us out. You feel me? Just, you know, would open. Can't just thank a place for being open and doing business. Oh, thank you so much for, but they were professional and cool.
That's a big-ass bus, too.
It's a big bus. It wasn't exactly what I wanted, but, I mean, for 2 hours' notice,
yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
It was good. But I wanted more of the party bus type thing, yeah, where you got the music the and the lights, that type of that open space kick it. A couple of those would have been cool. And it was fun, man. So, you know, got the bus with the help of Michael Gracie from Squatch Creative. He was helping coordinate. He called it the Burger Feet, DJ Burger Feet Express.
Mm-hmm.
And we charged people $5 for...
Which is a great deal.
A great deal. $5 to get on the bus. And then we were charging $5. And that also got you entry into the after party.
And? Lots of perks.
Lots of... we gave shots to everybody.
Yeah.
I bought $100 worth of scratch off lottery tickets.
Yeah, that was funny.
And I don't think many of them were winners. It's a bad business. Well, it's a great business, but it's bad for the people because nobody, unless somebody was just really very subdued and chill about winning $1,000.
Or they just didn't want to admit winning because they didn't want to have to share their winnings with you because you gave them the ticket.
I wouldn't have.
Well, I know, but you know how people are when they win.
I don't think people would be that reserved. You think somebody won a G on there?
Like, yeah, so let's say someone won like 20 G's on a ticket. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, you know, let's slide this in my pocket.
I think somebody would have been so psyched. I think we would have at least seen something online on Twitter or something. I think a couple people won $5, a couple people won $1.
Yeah.
But as far as $100 being spent on those scratch off tickets, I think we came out minus $90 as a group, which is horrible, horrible. But people had fun, so had music on the bus. Miles was a great bus conductor, and he was giving people, you know, a little tour of DC, giving a lot of different insider.
He was giving them the "This is my neighborhood" tour. Like, see that spot over there? They got some great Chinese food and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, this spot, they used to, oh, you could get fucked up over here 10 years ago. Now it's nice. Oh, man. Yeah, it used to be lots of crackheads over there. Yeah. Now it's all coffee shop. He was giving a very specific tour. It was really...
it was the Miles tour.
It was great. I wish we, you know, it could have been, I think the ride could have maybe went another 15 or so. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, we... You know, it was a fun, different kind of kind of energy, especially, you know, I like to do things last minute and kind of keep it spontaneous. And so
a party bus is always great. I mean, I did one, JoJo hooked one up for me once way back. Like, I had just gotten back from tour and she just hooked up a party bus, and it was just me and a bunch of friends, and there was like all this beer in a cooler, and we rode it. You know where Medieval Times is?
What suburb is that?
I can't remember.
Is that Schaumburg?
But it's, yeah, I think it's, I'm not sure. But it is one of them outskirts, but outskirts burbs. But it took like 20, 30 minutes to get there, but we just got housed the whole time on the way. And there's something really fun about just being mobile and drinking and then getting to the spot and partying.
The music.
Yeah.
You can get them. They all over Vegas. And I think last time I played Vegas, were you on that gig? Were you at that?
Yeah. Not, you got a party bus in Vegas?
Yeah.
I would have remembered that.
No, you might not have done the House of Blues gig in Vegas.
I remember the limo party, but I don't remember the party.
Oh, yeah.
That party was funny.
But yeah, so we had, you know, it was a few of us, and I just last minute, I just got a party bus. It was maybe, I want to say 6-7 of us total. Okay. And, you know, it was just cool, man, because you got the liquor, you get your bottle at whatever the liquor store charges for it, you hook up your phone and play your music, and then...
These were just the homies, though, right? You and your homies?
Me and my homies and a couple girls, yeah.
Because what made the DC one so special is that it was all fans, and they were just so psyched to just be on the bus with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a nice thing to do for your fans. That's what I thought.
It felt just fun, man. Yeah. Just more, I mean, I can't kick it like that every night.
Yeah.
Just because of my own.
But, I mean, it's an experience that people could talk about. Like, yeah, that one time... We were on a bus with Hannibal.
But yeah, it's more fun for me than it is. It's more fun for me to do that than it is to just go to some random bar. But I just remember even in Vegas, it was 7 of us, and we were kicking it, having a great time. And then we would pull up to a club at the Bellagio or whatever, or Caesars, and we'd go to the big nightclub, Omnia or some shit, and go in. And then like, the bus is way more fun.
The bus, the transport.
5 minutes in the club. And then
get back on the bus.
Yeah, get back on the bus and spend way more time on the bus. Just because it just felt better. It was like taking your crew and then instead of just kicking it with your crew, just being amongst 1,000 strangers and it's way louder and there's confetti occasionally and CO2.
Sometimes it's the like when you do the parades in New Orleans, it's about the parade, not the actual bar.
Yeah,
you know, it's about how you get into the bar that would make some fun, you know?
Yeah. Yo, the New Orleans, I don't know, I think there's some people in New Orleans that are, because I didn't, you know, I didn't know that bit would do that when I did the bit about, you know, having a parade in New Orleans the last minute and you can, you know, get a band to follow you around. Mm-hmm. I think some people, man, you've made it, this suck, and it's douchebags doing it. And then some people, some people... And then I'm sure some musicians are thinking, hey, this works out for us.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I did it. It was so fun when I did it the first time.
That was amazing.
I can't seem, I don't know what, I mean, it would have to be I've done it.
Well, I did it with you, like, was it the second time?
I think the second time.
Yeah.
And then I did it one time after played the Civic in 2014.
That was when you ended the show that way. That was awesome. Because you were like, hey, all right, let's go outside. And there was a parade waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Create some energy, man, and try to have some fun until I transition into my rap career. I ain't got nothing else to joke about, man. It's
I'm a serious man now.
I ain't got nothing else to joke about. It's just from now on. It's just life ain't funny. And so we get to that after party in D.C.
Where the Cubs win that night. Cubs won that night.
The Cubs won the night after. Oh, they won that night,
they
too.
They won that night, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember?
They won game 6 that night.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think
somebody
hit a home run right as the hook for We Them Boys, Wiz Khalifa came on. And then I got to make fun of Al and have a lively song on. It was perfect. I love when music just randomly matches,
syncs up with your life.
Yeah. Like that, it is beautiful.
I think these Cubs victories definitely wouldn't have been as fun without Al with us on the road. It was fun to just rub it in his face.
Yeah, it was fun. You kept going. You kept on going. I was pretty much done. I was done after Tony. Was done after the game was over. I was like, all right, that's fun. We did that. And then Tony like, yeah. Fucking it's Cubs all day. Fuck the Indians. Your mascot is racist. Cubs. I'm like, hey man. It's chill out. It's done. Yeah, you kept on even the next day you were going. Oh,
yeah,
God.
I went in.
Yeah, it was a bit much.
You know, Al's a good sport, and he was basically like, you know what? It's all good. I'm going to give you 72 hours to get it out of your system.
Yeah.
That's fair. Got it out of my system.
You know
what?
I'm good. That was a great approach from a reasonable man, Al. Because, you know why? Because Al used to be a teacher. That's how he let you get out. You relax.
Like, yeah, there you go.
You just, you got some stuff going on. And he just said, time is fine. Ooh. And just let you, he was being understanding.
Yeah.
My man. So, as a lot of you probably know, I DJ under the name DJ Burger Feet, and my gig in DC was a rough gig. It was rough. It was probably, and I've had some rough gigs sometimes it's going smoothly, and then sometimes it's just off. You could just be off you think it's just playing songs or trying to, but I've had some weird. I've had some smoother nights. I mean, I'm not a great blender. I might have to take some time out of my day or my life to learn how to blend and do it smoothly and be able to keep the momentum going in a DJ set. But this was a rough one because, Tony spun for about 45 minutes or so, and then it was my turn to jump on the wheels. And then my first song transition, I don't know what I pressed on Serato or whatever I pressed on the software, the songs started playing backwards, all the songs were playing backwards.
I was outside and someone ran out the door. It's like, Tone, we need you in here. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And he's like, the music is going backwards. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what? Well, how, what? So sure enough, I run back inside. Out of here is zills up, zills up, zills up. And I'm looking at Hannibal. He's got his hands in the air like,
I didn't know what I pressed, dog. I don't know. That's never happened. I don't know. I've never pressed something. It just went backwards.
I was like, how did you do this? You're like, I don't know.
I don't know what, man. That was, oh.
We got it back together pretty quickly.
Yeah, but it was just.
You did it again later on.
I did it again somehow later. I just need to learn how to not do that. I'll be a 20% better DJ if I learn how not to play the music back.
I've never seen that before.
DJ gig is going poorly when you play a song and then if people ain't vibing to it much, I would say, like, at least it's not going backwards, you guys. I was saying shit like that on the mic. The music, I played like three songs backwards. Yeah, so it was a rough gig, man. I've had some rough ones. Oakland was a rough one. I was high as shit in Oakland, and I hadn't DJ'd high before, and I just was overthinking it. You think it's easier to DJ drunk or high?
Definitely drunk. When I get drunk, I spend my best sets. Yeah. Like straight up, like when I'm like blackout drunk, that's when I'm the best.
Yeah,
because I just get like I start dancing and get into it and I just start knocking stuff over and like I get wild and like people see that, they feed off of that, you put it out in the universe that way. But
play the stuff that you want to hear when you're really drunk, and so you connect it more.
But when you're high, you get too much into your head.
Yeah, when I was high in Oakland, I was like, I don't know if they're gonna like this. What is their energies like? Oh, I don't know. I was just really second guessing everything, and so it made for a very timid, weird ass set. Although they did vibe out when I played that Kamaya, How Does It Feel? But that's because it's a local artist, and they like. But it's cool. It's fun playing local stuff when you go to a certain.
That's market. If they like get it. Because I remember we did a gig once where it was like we were somewhere. Where were we? We were in Houston, I believe. was at Houston. Or no, we were in Memphis, and I was playing a bunch of like Tennessee stuff and Memphis shit, like, yeah, you know, like rap tune specific and specific to the town, and nobody knew what was going on.
Really?
But the cuts that I picked were like
3-6.
Yeah, shit like you know, 8-Ball MJG, stuff like that, and yeah, they just were just like lost.
I mean,
like,
it was,
I don't know these songs.
Really? Was that the last year we played Memphis? The I forget the name of the venue.
But yeah, I remember doing that. I remember I was trying to do that for a bunch of cities. This was before I was doing the video stuff, and it was weird because a lot of cities just didn't know their own shit. There'd be a couple people in the crowd or a few people in the crowd. They're like, yeah, he's playing my shit.
Yeah.
But for the most part, most people are just like, this is a bunch of rap music I've never heard.
Oh.
So I stopped doing that.
You got to just power through, man.
No, this video shit is where it's at.
Yeah.
This is universal. Everybody can get down with it.
I like here. I mean, I get excited here in Chicago shit anywhere, man. You know,
yeah.
You know, I would, you know, I, you
follow. Well, Chicago stuff's going through a renaissance right now, too. So, yeah, like, everybody likes Chicago shit right now.
You know, it's, you got, I don't even know if you're tired of that song. I've been overplaying it. The Billy Williams story.
I'm not tired of it. I'm just like, oh, there goes that song again.
Yeah.
I'm
I probably played this artist Saba from the west side of Chicago.
I thought it was Kid Cudi when you first played it. It sounded like a
really?
Kid. Yeah, it sounded very Kid Cudi.
Got a sort of that vibe. It does have a different vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. I just like that song a lot. It gets me hyped. I was driving from the airport listening to it today. Yeah, man. And he got this other song called West Side Bound 3.
See, I haven't listened to his solo stuff, but I did like him on Angels.
Yeah.
He was real good on
West
Angels.
Side Bound. If you don't know, I'm from the west side of Chicago, and I'm from the west. Yeah, so he's talking about, you know, Lupe's from the west side. Yeah, Do or Die, Crucial Conflict, you know, and it all of, you know, paid homage to the west side. But he, you know, Saba, he's talking about streets. He's talking about shit that's like four blocks away from my parents' crib. He's talking about division in Austin and different specific side streets, just real, like, deep cut West Side Chicago shit.
Yeah.
It's exciting to hear. You should see how angry Tony's getting at this dog.
Come here.
Should be mad at that dog because it's ruining this podcast.
Sit down.
People in Germany are listening to this and this dog is fucking it up.
I might have to just put him in the room.
Ugh.
But I feel like he might whine more.
I don't know. I mean, just let it be in the background whining a little bit. Maybe that just shows humanity on our part. It's just that, you know, life isn't just all perfect sound.
Maybe he's just,
and
he's pacing around like he's nervous because of this election.
Well, maybe the dog is trying to, you know, be on the podcast because it is one of the top ranked podcasts on iTunes.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. It has been. It's fun. It's fun having a podcast, man.
It's great.
I want to do some different things with it. It's a good outlet. It's a good outlet. Talking about shit. I was just back in New York. We were back in New York. Did the Apollo Theater.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Apollo Theater in Harlem. Chris Rock came through.
Yes.
He came through, and so I asked him if he wanted to go on. You know, no expectation. He said yes.
The way that went down, too, because we were, like, right on the side stage, but Hannibal was ready to go up. Out of nowhere, this guy comes in through the side. It's like, hey, what's up? And I didn't even know that. I look, and I'm like, oh, shit. And I think it was, like, within, like, a two-minute span, and then you were like, you want to do some time?
Because I was like, thinking about it, because I wasn't sure. You know, sometimes, like, with... You're not sure if a cat wanna open for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I would have been,
especially of that caliber.
Yeah. So I wanted to be. I mean, I was, but also I was like, I might as well ask. It doesn't. It doesn't matter. It's a crowd. It's comedians want to do comedy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so it's a packed theater.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've known him. Like 7 years now, 6-7 years, right around when I started on SNL. And Rock, Tony introduced him, and it's just a crazy, it was just this, it's a different type of, just energy from the crowd. Like, is pop, this drop-in energy, surprise guest energy, yeah. And I've gotten some nice pops from the crowd when I've come through spots.
Yeah.
That feels good. It's a bit, and it's an obvious pop. This shit, when he roasts, it's different.
Yeah.
It's just a different, it's like a roar, like a
it's on a straight up rock star.
And it's like
shit.
It's just a different, it's crazy. And then he went and did a few minutes.
Yeah, I like that too, because he wasn't like, it didn't feel like he was trying out his bits. It was more like he was talking about the election shit that's going on. Like, kind of like, it was almost like he took the role as like public service announcement, you know, but it was funny. Like,
it was cool to see, man.
Yeah.
And it, you know,
it really energized the crowd too.
It definitely energized the crowd, even though my first instinct when he was killing at first, I was thinking, what have I done?
I knew you were thinking that too. Like, oh shit, I gotta go on after this.
What have I done? Chris Rock is on before me at my show. What have I
didn't
done?
Think this through at all.
Oh man, I mean, this is cool and everything, but this is it wasn't that type of set, and it wasn't.
No, like, and he didn't put that kind of a set on. Yeah, he wasn't.
Wait, no, he killed it and did his thing, but it wasn't the way.
Yeah,
the wave. Kind of is that, you know, you can ride the wave.
Yeah.
It's certain times where, like, I remember him coming through Knitting Factory years back.
Yeah.
And killing it and doing his thing. And then somebody else went out and, you know, he rocked it. But sometimes you could just ride the wave.
Yeah.
Instead of just, it's not like, I can't follow that. It's just do your
unless
shit.
Unless
you really suck, of course. But yeah, just follow the energy and just and have fun. So I went out there, and it was cool, man. I had a good time.
Those at the end of the day, those people were there to see you.
Yeah,
so it's not like you go up there and be like, I can't follow this.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. But also, I could feel that the energy when I went up was definitely.
Yeah.
Heightened in a way. The vibe, just even my first few jokes, it was a different the crowd was in a different place than they usually are, and people usually are in a good spot and excited. So it was a dope night, and then finished up.
Wait, before you go on, when I first walked into the Apollo, I was like, from watching it on TV, I always imagined the Apollo to just be huge.
Yeah.
Like a very big thing. It looks so big on TV, but like walking in, I'm just like, this is like a small theater. It's like, it looks like a normal size, regular theater. You know what I'm saying? Did you get that feeling too?
No.
In person, it doesn't feel as big as on, I guess that's like with all theaters maybe, right?
I think it's a lot of things, just because in general with television stuff, have a huge space doesn't really lend itself to good shots.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Also having to fill up spot for television.
Yeah, yeah.
Generally, places are smaller than you think, whether it's even, you know, you go to Conan Studio or Letterman.
Yeah.
Like, Letterman show was shot. I mean, it's no shots of... Yeah, they use some shots of the crowds, but Letterman, I think that theater at Sullivan...
Those late night shows always look small to me. Yeah. They always look small to me, but the Apollo always look huge for some reason.
Yeah. It's a... I mean, it does have those three tiers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's three tiers, which... Is it the main level... And then is it three up or is it two? I feel like it's three. But it was a beautiful spot. I wish I got there earlier to check it out. But it was, you know, the energy was crazy.
Alicia Keys was playing the next night. So when I was there for sound check, like, they had like two different unions working at once.
And it was chaotic?
All these lights and all. This guy's got this huge board and they're just like, yeah, Alicia Keys doing her thing tomorrow. And I'm like, yeah, but we got a show tonight. And we got some things to figure it out.
Hey, you know, Alicia Keys, you know, maybe a little priority.
Well, at the end of the day, it's still a sold-out show. Sold-out show.
Her new album just came out. I heard it was good. It must be good because one of my buddies is really into hip hop. He's like, I usually wouldn't say this, but that Alicia Keys is good. Like out of nowhere, he just texts me.
One of those hard dudes, like, yo,
not a hard dude, but mostly a hip hop dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's mostly just a hip hop dude. And he's like, yo, Alicia Keys albums on. So
she killed it at Chance's thing.
At the Magnificent Coloring World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did you do? Like 5 minutes?
I did as short as possible.
You still did good though, man.
I did. I just tried to get in and get out. Yeah. It was so big of a I just wanted to basically, you know.
It was crazy to see you up there. I was like, what? It was like a big ass fucking catwalk and like.
Yeah,
it
was like, how is he gonna
do this?
Yeah. I'm talking about I performed at Chance's Fest. Chance the Rapper had a festival in Chicago at U.S. Cellular Field. I don't think it's U.S. Cellular Field anymore. It's
No, it's Comiskey.
It's Comiskey.
Originally. But
U.S. Cellular, yeah, it's originally Comiskey. Changed to U.S. Cellular, which is not as horrible. But the now it's like best low rates or some shit.
Guaranteed rates.
Guaranteed rate. Yeah,
sounds terrible.
Field.
Sounds terrible.
Guaranteed rate. I get that you gotta, I mean, congratulations for your company being that successful and able to usurp U.S. Cellular up out of it, but Guaranteed Rate Field, like, is that the name of the company?
It's yeah,
Guaranteed.
Yeah. I think it's some kind of like loan company. But you know, if
Guaranteed
you think about
Rate.
It, ironically, it's kind of suitable because, or not ironically, but coincidentally, it's kind of suitable because the Sox are known to be like the affordable team.
Yeah.
Versus like the Cubs games are always overpriced.
What? Yeah.
So it's like you got that guaranteed rate.
Guaranteed. And didn't U.S. Cellular have flat billing, like flat rates?
As far as like
the phone.
U.S.
The,
yeah.
The phone bills.
There's another connection.
Guaranteed rate. I guess some that.
It's a bad, yeah, it's a bad name.
It's some that just sound okay. They don't. It's some of them that don't sound like a company, even though they are a company.
Yeah, like Wrigley.
Wrigley Field is a company. Staples Center sounds just regular. Yeah. Staples Center, Target Center, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Guaranteed Rate Field, it's a rough one. But such is life, I guess. Business is business. Business is business. Business is business.
I can see you. I see you. Hey. Oh, didn't see you there. Blue Apron ad time. Blue Apron, can you cook? Are you stupid? Are you smart? Doesn't matter. Blue Apron's for stupid and smart people that can't put together ingredients. Blue Apron puts together ingredients, and none of them are poison. They're very against poisoning their customers because that would be a horrible business model. BlueApron.com sends pre-meals. What? Pre-meals? No, they send meals with the ingredients already there. Measured out for your stupid ass. So you ain't got to do nothing. So you ain't got to pour a bunch of salt on it like a dummy. You don't have to put too many beans in there and have your stomach all banged out like a goofy. Blue Apron does it. And they do it with that beef and that chicken that has not been tortured. That chill beef and chicken. Because you don't want that angry chicken in you, because then you take in that angry energy and now you angry, and then you about to go attack your family just because you didn't get some chill chicken. What is the meaning of life? Well, I'll tell you what the meaning of Blue Apron is. It's having nice, chill meals, portioned, feel good. You eat it and you feel light and you can do a jog. Or you might just, you know, you eat this and you feel like you can kind of teach a class or something. Teach people how to sing. You know what type of meals they got in November? Pan-seared chicken with roasted fall vegetables and butter caper sauce. Spice and lotus roots and purple carrot stir fry. With sweet potato noodles. Lemongrass roasted pork. With Romanesco, cauliflower, and coconut rice. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/rambler. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/rambler. Blue Apron. Blue Apron.
headlines. Eric Andre has a gig. Pop up on Eric Andre's show. Do a set. His fans were pretty amped. That
you got a crazy ovation.
It was a good energy from the crowd.
Yeah,
the fans at that show were pretty intense. A lot of people filming, so I didn't really want to try that much. And then a lot of people just yelling screaming, stuff.
Yeah,
I don't really.
Snail down.
I don't really get that. I don't get what to do when somebody. We was just snail down. And okay, that's, you know.
It's funny because your fan base is very segregated. Like, you got your Broad City fan base, you got your Eric Andre fan base, and then you got your straight up stand up fan base.
I think there's a lot of overlap with Broad City and Eric Andre. Yeah. Now, I think initially the Broad City. When Broad City was finding his fan base and Eric Andre was finding, and I think now there's been,
they kind of merged.
I think there's been some overlap.
But your Eric Andre fan base is crazy.
They're a little crazy, and it's just it's weird because they'll yell. You know, the show is fun to do, but they'll yell like bits at me from the show.
Yeah.
But I didn't rate that stuff, so I'm not super.
Yeah,
connected to it. I think it's goofy and funny. Like, snail down. Like, I'm not like,
but
snail down. Like, I can't. And also, I don't want to. I don't know what
snail
to,
down.
I don't know what to do with that if you yell it at my show when I'm performing stand up, totally unrelated, in front of like 2,000 people, and you just yell out snail down in
but
front of.
But that's just like Eric Andre's like comedy. Like, he writes stuff like, or whoever writes stuff like that is. Perfect for that kind of, like, just to be yelling out, time to deliver a pizza ball. Like, people just want to scream shit like that. So, like, when you play in front of his audience, like, that's the kind of personality that you're bringing, you know, that
no,
he brings out
see,
of them.
No.
You don't think so?
That's what Chappelle hated. He hated when motherfuckers, when he was doing stand-up.
Yeah, he did a Rick James.
He did Rick James, bitch. Yeah, it's just a separate... Yeah, you connect with those. You like those catchphrases. They're fun to say, but it's not... This is not a rap show. This is not the hooks to my shit. This is not. So you throwing off somebody when you just yelling out a catchphrase. You can yell out catchphrases as much as you want at the bar with your friends. Yeah. But if you yelling that at a show, you throwing off.
Yeah, like in the middle of a stand-up.
In the middle of a stand-up, maybe right before somebody start or something, it's cool to yell. But, you know, people be yelling out. Because I have some stories. So I have an 8-minute story and then somebody, just in the middle of a story, Hannibal. Like, it's
that's
me.
When things get awkward. Yeah.
It's like, why would you, Hannibal? Like, I was in the middle of the middle of a long story about my uncle dying. What's up? You wanna?
Was that at the Apollo with the douchebag up front with the that was by himself?
Yeah.
That where he was laughing at weird places. Like,
he was texting.
That guy was so annoying, man.
He was texting a big portion of the show.
Recording the whole time.
He was recording the whole time. Security was not on their job. Also, I had friends that were sitting next to him that they could have done a little something. But,
I could not stop.
Yeah, it was a guy. I don't know if he was Australian or something because he responded a little bit when I talked about Australia. He was up front. And then, he was by himself, so I don't know if he was just, you know, rolling solo or bought one ticket on StubHub or some shit. And just, it was weird to see a person by himself, but the seat next to him was empty, front row. Like,
yeah, because there was a couple next to him and then a couple next to the empty seat. So I think he got stood up. Or maybe somebody got sick or I don't know. But, I was watching him the whole time and he was annoying the shit out of me because, he was on his phone fucking around. He was one of those guys like where you said the funny shit and people were laughing, completely just dead, like not no response. But then he's looking at his phone and then he would randomly just look up and be like, at parts that weren't even like he just like wasn't there, like he was not present at all during the show.
Yeah, that meant
like,
I mean
he had like no reason to be there. It was strange to me.
Yeah,
and then he got up and left.
And
like
he got up left
20 minutes into the show. Like, what the fuck were you doing there?
It made me wonder about the. You know, I've done a bunch of shows with Chappelle where he used the yonder.
The yonder?
Yonder is where they have these sleeves that people put their phones in.
That's right. We did that in Napa Valley.
Yeah, we did it in Napa. Yeah, we tried it in Napa.
Yeah.
And And so this where they had the sleeves, and they put their phones in there, and they keep their phones with them. And so
the pouch is like locked.
The pouch is locked, and people got their phones with them, and you can't access your phone until you step into the lobby on your way out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've done a bunch of shows with Chappelle over the past few years, and he's recently started doing that. And the ones I've done with them lately, the crowd is just so just focused and just tuned in. And it's a slightly different energy. I would say if I could quantify it, I would say the audience is maybe 15% better.
Yeah. So why don't you utilize that? Does it cost more money?
Does cost more money.
How much does something like that cost?
It depends on the venue, negotiation, or whatever. But I think I will. But you know, here's the thing. Here's what
is it a significant cost, or is it worth the cost? You think
it's I think it ranges anywhere like a couple dollars a head. It could be anywhere from a dollar to $4 per head, which is
that's a lot.
You know, in some place, you know, it's, you know, Apollo Theater, it might have cost, you know, whatever, depending on the deal though that you negotiate to.
Yeah, yeah.
$3,000, $4,000. I mean, but it is distracting just when somebody's filming me.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It throws me off too.
It throws me off of my shit. If somebody's just right up front, even if I pop in an open mic and somebody's just right there,
yeah.
I can't really
You can't get loose.
Yeah, I can't loose and do it the way I want to. You know, when I used them yonder once, I asked them how much it was gonna cost. And then they like, oh, you're gonna be in Napa, you could use the service for free.
Oh, nice.
And I said, cool. And then it was smooth. It was, you know, Napa might not even been the right crowd to test it on. You know what I mean? As far as its effectiveness. It worked, but that Napa Valley crowd might not have been crazy filming and stuff. Who knows? Whatever. But then that gig was Saturday or something. And then Monday, you know, all these press releases out. Like, Hannibal Buress tries yonder and uses this. And I'm like, wait a second. I didn't know y'all were doing this. Yeah. So they blasted me. They used.
I remember that shit.
And so it was all these like, articles.
Yeah.
Like I was, you would have thought I had equity in the company as many articles. And I was like, you know, the service was cool, but damn, I didn't know you was going to kind of pimp me out like that.
Do you agree with the service, or do you, like, say you were on the other side of it and you went to go see, like, knowing that you're not going to use your phone or whatever, but
I probably would use my phone. I mean, I wouldn't do it like blatantly but.
So like if you went to like, go I would, see like Jay-Z
I would like, and, I would like, I would like definitely be, at checking, some point, like checking messages, it, like just out of straight muscle memory, nerve. Yeah. I would if they were, if it was somebody that, like, if it was the artist,
would you want to do it?
Yeah, no, if the artist wanted to do it and that was part of, yeah, I'd be fine with it. Because I've seen the vibe and I see why artists do it, especially somebody like Chappelle and other artists that's working on new material that compromises that if somebody films it. I've seen motherfuckers put up full Chappelle sets on YouTube. Dave Chappelle at there. Yeah, and it's like shit's like 50 minutes long on YouTube.
Yeah,
like,
come on. Yeah.
But so it helps. And
dude,
it,
I remember, you remember that hip hop group All Natural from Chicago?
Yeah.
So I remember there's a, you know, Empty Bottle. They played at the Empty Bottle once. And, you know, he's Muslim, capital D, the lead guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a stipulation, if he played there, they couldn't serve alcohol.
Oh, wow.
Straight up. And this is when you could still smoke in the bar. It said no smoking, no alcohol. And they straight up did that for him.
All Natural, they were pretty big back then?
Yeah, they were huge. Yeah. They were like one of the biggest underground hip hop groups in Chicago at the time. They were like running it, but that was like unheard of for like a bar to just be like, there's no liquor here. So me and my guys just snuck in a bottle and got fucked up.
That's pretty.
Watch the show.
There's no liquor at all?
No liquor at all. No liquor at all. They were serving fucking soda and water, bro. Like, nobody was drinking liquor.
That's a strong move, man.
It's a very strong move. And, like, I remember, like, Pickle was with me, and he asked the door guy, who was like, hey, man. He's like, is this for real? And the guy's like, yeah, we really respect All Natural.
Hey, what? I mean, that's crazy
that anybody would have had that kind of power to just, any artist had that power to be like, no alcohol, and that's
no
it.
Alcohol. I mean, that's,
I mean, so I wonder, Yonder ain't shit compared to that.
Well, Yonder is, it's not even comparing, because Yonder is bringing in something, asking people to put something away, and they still keep it, versus asking a venue to
not make money.
Yeah, to give away one of their main revenue streams.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, you know, in his deal, did he have to give away a bigger percentage of the door? Or if they just, you know, took the gig. Sometimes venues,
they might have. I mean, Empty Bottle's a cool ass venue. Yeah. They're like historical for putting on some really dope shows.
Right. So
they probably just took the L.
Yeah.
On
sometimes
that.
Sometimes places, you know, that's what I found as you build relationships.
Yeah.
With places that you know, you start looking back like, oh, there was a lot of money on the table, and y'all just didn't fuck with me like that back then.
Yeah.
Like, now it's places that I used to be able to get, like, you know, it would be, oh yeah, we doing a 50-50 split or a 60-40, and now it's some spot, that same spot I'll come through, and it's just straight 100%.
Here's the money.
Here's everything. Thanks that came in. You're like, oh shit, I should have asked for that a while ago. Yeah, man. Well, my energy is better in Chicago now. When I get into New York, I turn into this. So I'm not there that much. I think I basically live here now. Again, when I'm in New York, I turn into this fucking fake, like, tragic artist, self-destructive type motherfucker.
No, elaborate, please.
Well, I'm just upset and over. You know, it's just something about it now. When I go back, I have a good time, but then the nights can get too long, and it's a bit much, but. Oh, something. When I got back here, I got back energized, man. I had fun doing the Apollo and doing the shows with Eric and all of that. And I went to Knitting Factory Sunday, but it was just, I just felt in a weird ass, it's a weird ass mood the city puts me in now.
Every time I get there, it just feels like a flash. Everything is just like, and then I'm out of there.
Yeah,
and there's never enough time to catch up on anything.
Yeah, it's up. So, I mean, it was, you know. It's weird having that apartment there. Oh, speaking of which, I gotta get that shit cleaned up. That's funny. Some people were writing me about the Edinburgh documentary.
Yeah?
Clean your place. Like, what the? Clean your place. Like, that was 4 years ago. That's not how it looks anymore.
Clean your place.
I still have that same place, though. Also, quick note, if you ever watch High Maintenance, that place is in High Maintenance also. And then for the HBO episode of High Maintenance, they recreated that shit with the mess and everything. And they had up crinkled stuff.
Really?
Yeah. They recreated
They made
chaos.
A set out of your
of my old place. They made a set out of
I thought that was actually your place.
In the HBO one? Or the web series one?
You're on the HBO one?
Yeah, I'm on the HBO one.
Oh, I just saw the web series one.
Yeah, on the web series one from a few years ago where
I remember that one.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna do a quick cameo on the HBO, and they made a shitty place, recreated it, because they had money now. The show was doing well. They were like, we don't need to shoot in your apartment.
But the first one was in
make
your apartment.
The first one was in my apartment.
I was gonna say, they did a great job.
Which, when they shot, I had so much, because I hadn't had that many people over my place at once at that point. I think at most I had one or two people over my place at that time.
Yeah.
And it was this crew. It was a small crew, but it was still like, there's six people in my place, and I only know one of them, sort of. But yeah, that show, that's a dope show, man. It's crazy seeing how they've kind of developed and progressed and done it their way. And now it's on HBO.
Yeah,
and it was a web because I was
it's a
always,
great idea because
I already
too.
Thought and they kind of took it slow, and I think they probably had other opportunities early on, because right away when I don't know when I did it, I think that might have been 2012.
Yeah,
but I don't know, when I saw the other episodes, I'm like, why isn't this on TV already? But it took their time, and
it's a great idea. It's a great show. The cast is good.
The acting on it is really good. It was I like it. It's time for questions, 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 questions.
All right. So he says, this is from, if you use this, please don't use my full name. Just use my initial P. So this is from P.
Mm-hmm.
It says P.
P.
Hannibal.
Yeah.
My wife is from another country, and we've been kept apart due to visa issues.
Okay.
Recently, we found an excellent lawyer. This woman is very sharp and knows everything about immigration.
Oh.
If anyone can fix our problem, it is her.
All right.
So the three of us had a Skype conference one morning. It was a good meeting, and we all were feeling pretty positive. I start doing a good
meeting can do that. Sometimes you have a meeting. Oh, yeah. It's a good meeting.
This meeting's awesome.
Sometimes when you first start, you know, trying to build as a stand-up, your agent will send you to LA. You go on a bunch of general meetings.
Yeah.
Just general meetings. You'll go to LA, you get a rental car, and you just go to a bunch of, whether it's casting people or somebody that works at HBO.
Like that show Entourage?
And you just go, it's not Entourage. It's not like Entourage, because these motherfuckers don't know who you are at all.
So these meetings suck.
They don't suck. It's just more like, so what's your, I guess it's just a lot of times, because I end up working with a couple people out of lots and lots of general meetings I ended up, you know, working with in other capacities. Years down the line, but the vibe of them are just like, so what's your, you just sit down, what's your story? Yeah. What are you, just meeting generally?
So sometimes there's a good one and you feel good.
Sometimes, I mean, you can talk and vibe with somebody, but at this, you not pitching nothing. Like, I'm just meeting. I didn't have anything. I didn't even really want to act that much. I was just like, I do stand-up. I like doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, this is what we're up to. And they just said, we're doing this. And we got these projects in development. But I didn't have a script to pitch. I didn't have anything. They weren't casting at the moment.
Yeah.
It was just a general meeting.
General meeting.
Just a general-ass meeting.
Let's just have a conversation.
That's when I started asking girls out on, oh, you want to go on a general meeting?
That's good. That's better than coffee. Let's do a general meeting.
Let's have a general meeting, babe.
Yeah. That should be on your Tinder profile. I'm into general meetings. And, yeah. So anyways, it was a good meeting, feeling pretty positive. So I started doing a sexy little dance for my wife as a joke. After a few minutes, though, we stopped joking and started getting serious. Out come the sex toys, vibrators. I can't recommend them strongly enough. She asked to see my cock, and it's on. So then we finish, out come the cleanup stuff, and then we realize we left our attorney in on the call. Now, she didn't say anything, and she might have been gone. It might have been hung up, but I don't know. We could have been giving her whole law firm a free show for a half an hour. I should note that although I love my wife deeply, if we were on RedTube or something, most people would skip the video in the first 5 seconds.
Okay, self-aware.
Anyway, I don't know if she saw, but I do know she cashed my retainer check. Should I fire her and look for a new lawyer?
You think this is real? It's probably real. Because he said,
I mean, it's very detailed.
He said, don't say my full name.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But maybe that's him trying to
be funny. But, I mean, either way, it is a real situation. So let's think about it as real.
Is it a real situation?
Could be a real situation.
It does sound specific. It's not immigration lawyer and all of that.
Yeah.
It sounds very detailed just to tell a jag-off joke. So,
yeah. if he took that much time into writing the jag-off joke that's that long, then let's entertain the idea of answering this.
No, I think you should. I mean, you talk with her again. Try to gauge her vibe. This is what I suggest. You set up another Skype meeting under the guise of asking some questions about something else, about something else pertaining to the case. And then you kind of can fill out, you'll be able to, like, I think if you seem like a smart person, you'll be able to read whether she saw you jagging off on video or not. She's a lawyer, but people
I don't know, lawyers are good at lying.
Not good at, but she's not going to, you think she's just going to play it off and you don't think her energy will shift a little bit?
But business is business. Like, you focus on your business and you...
Right, so...
She cashed a check, so she's... No matter what,
right,
she's...
Right, so it's just like... And also, you have lawyer-client privilege.
Yeah.
So she's not going... She can't do that.
Yeah, keep that on the...
So
don't worry about
what
it.
What is the thing? They will kick her off... They will kick her out of the bar? She'd be cut off at the bar. She'd be cut off at the bar.
On a Saturday
they
night.
Cut her off at the bar. She talked about you jacking off because of... client lawyer privilege, I think. Yeah. So be chill, man.
Forget about it.
And good luck with that. Good luck with you and her. And I hope y'all come together and be able to put your parts together in person instead of via Skype.
Anyways, thanks, P, for your question.
Thanks, Pete.
Oh, and please don't forget to write into the Handsome Rambler for your questions. We might answer them.
Yeah, we might answer your questions. All right, you guys. This is fun. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Tony Trim, Earwolf, Flying Lotus for the music. Share, subscribe, listen, all that stuff. Got a good time. I need a good sign-off phrase. I love you. No. I love you. No! Handsome Rambler. No! Whatever. Sign off. Cut it off. Stop it now. Thank you again to Skin Condoms. Skin Condoms. Skin Condoms. Yeah. Smooth. Feels like nothing zone. When you're trying to get up in the zone. Skin Condoms. What's popping? Skin Condoms. I'm not stopping. Ugh. Ready to try them? Head over to buycondoms.online. How about that domain? .online. Sounds like that's from the 90s. And scores free shipping. Free shipping on all lubricants and condoms with code RAMBLER. RAMBLER. Buycondoms.online. Just buy a bunch and get them sent straight to your place. And you don't have to look at the person at Walgreens in the face. Even though they don't care. But you care, and you're thinking about it too much, and you're not living your best, smoothest life. Skin Condoms. Rambler. Buycondoms.online. Bye.
Hey, guys. It's Franklin Leonard, and we are back with another amazing season of The Blacklist Table Reads. We have so many ear movies for you this season and some fantastic talent at the helm. There is Paul Scheer starring in an insane action comedy.
Soak it in, chucklehead. It's your last dance.
A dark new take on the story of Frankenstein with the incredible Joanne Froggatt.
It was the intoxication of your words that's kept me so tied to you, Mary.
And Aisha Tyler in AI apocalyptic sci-fi.
My name is Maggie. Mine is the story of great loss.
Plus interviews with our leads, writers, and much, much more. So listen in, subscribe to the Blacklist Table Reads right here on Earwolf.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.